So you are tuned in to 104.3 in Juneau. And tonight's stories, I'm calling them wintry tales for the holiday season. So I'll let you get settled, and then I'll be right back with a Hanukkah tale from Hudson Valley by Mike Levine. This is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Left Hanging here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Please stay tuned. This is Ms. G. I am bringing you Left Hanging. And tonight's first wintry tale is titled A Hudson Valley Hanukkah Tale by Mike Levine. Sunday, December 13th, 1998. I'm 11 years old and I never understood Hanukkah. My parents would kill me for saying this, but it seemed like a Christmas booby prize for Jewish kids. Boy, I'm in trouble now. I mean, the Hanukkah story happened about a million years ago. Everyone had a beard back then. I think even the kids. What's it have to do with me? My Christian friends, they got all these cool movies about Christmas. And Christmas trees and lights. Wow. I used to wish I had all that. Until last year. That's when I discovered a Hanukkah miracle right here in the Hudson Valley. For real. It all started a few hours before the first night of Hanukkah. I won't lie, we were jumping crazy on the school bus. Crystal and Kevin sang Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. Keyshawn shouted lines from the school Christmas play. I played the drums on Eddie's back while Carlos rapped. From Highland Falls to Greenwood Lake, school was out for Christmas break. Almost every house on the ride home was lit up with green and red bulbs. Mad cool. Then we passed my house. Crystal said, "Yo, Adam, where are your Christmas lights?" Everyone stared at me. I turned red. "We don't have any," I mumbled. "We're Jewish." Kevin said, "Oh, yeah, you celebrate Hanukkah or something." The other kids looked at me, not mean or anything, just kind of like they felt sorry. "You don't even get a Christmas tree?" asked Lewis. "No." I tried to change the subject. "So what's everyone doing over vacation?" Turns out all my friends were doing Christmas stuff. Christmas karaoke at the mall, Christmas parties, Christmas everything. "Want to help decorate our tree?" asked Carlos. "I don't know," I said, as we landed at my bus stop. "Anybody want to play ball?" "Yeah, maybe," he said. "Merry Christmas," said the bus driver as I jumped out at the corner. I began to walk home, looking at all the Christmas lights. I felt lonesome. I always did this time of year. When I was little, I couldn't figure out why Santa skipped our house. I thought I was a bad boy, or maybe Santa hated Jewish kids. My parents always said Santa belonged to another holiday. But why couldn't we at least have Christmas lights and a tree? We'd still be Jewish, right? Mom, I said as I opened the front door, don't you think Christmas lights look cool? Oh, they're pretty, she said. She stood in the living room dusting off the menorah. She was standing on a perfect spot for a Christmas tree. My father was in the kitchen peeling potatoes for Hanukkah latkes. He whistled a song about dreidels. They were both in a good mood. So I said, I have a great idea. Let's have our own Christmas lights and our own Christmas tree. Absolutely not, my mom said. Aw, how come? What's the big deal? My dad stopped peeling potatoes. He stopped whistling, too. He looked me in the eye and spoke slow and serious. Adam, Christmas is a wonderful Christmas holiday. It's for Christians. I didn't get it. As far as I could see, Christmas seemed to be about lights and Santa. So we can't have a tree, I guess? I asked again. No, said my mother, starting to get real mad. We light a menorah for Hanukkah. It's beautiful. I don't really get Hanukkah, I said. I heard the story 100 times. The Jews wouldn't bow down to statues, so they battled with their foreign rulers. A ragtag bag of Jews called the Maccabees recaptured the temple. They only had enough oil to light the temple for one night, but it lasted 8 days. Big miracle. The end. So how come I can't have a Christmas tree, I asked. Because when you really understand Hanukkah, said my mom, you won't want a Christmas tree. I was angry, tired of being left out. Why can't we celebrate Christmas like everyone else? Would it kill us? It might, said my dad. I said I was going over to Collis's house. As I closed the door, I heard them say, be back by nightfall so we can light the menorah. I walked down the street, checking out all the Christmas lights. Hey, Carlos, I said, knocking on his door. Want to play ball? His father called out to him to be back by nightfall. By the time we walked down to the clearing in the park, we had recruited Keyshawn, Crystal, Kevin, Nestor, and his kid brother, who had a football. Big problem. A bunch of high schoolers had taken over the field. They were drinking beer. I looked at Carlos. Hey, guys, I said, if you're not playing, can we have the field? I was shaking as I said it. Two guys as big as oak trees came up to me and Carlos. Sure, kid. Let's see you drink a beer first. Carlos and I shook our heads no. What about you? Said 5 more guys circling around Keyshawn and Crystal. Have a beer. Let's see if you're big enough to play. It'll be cool. No, said Crystal, her knees trembling. No, said Keyshawn, we don't do that. That's not who we are. Then this really mean guy we knew as Rockhead stood over Nestor's kid brother. Hey, Pipsqueak, said Rockhead, I'll give you a beer for that football. With that, he took our football and squirted beer all over us. We ran like crazy to our secret hiding place over behind Black Rock. Nestor's brother was crying. I was scared, too. What are we going to do? We asked each other. Nestor said maybe we should take a sip just to get the field. No way, the rest of us said. We're not drinking any stupid beer. That's when I had an idea. You know that swamp across the road? The one that looks fine until you step in it and then you get mud up to your knees? We hatched our plan and ran down to the field with the big kids. See you suckers, Carlos told them. We're going into a better field than this. It's our secret place. And it has benches, too. Yeah, I said. There's even beer buried there. They fell for it. Rockhead grabbed Keyshawn and said, you better tell us where it is. He gave them directions to the swamp. They all left. When they were a block away, we fell down laughing. Those boys were going to get a mud bath, and we had our field back. It was getting dark already. Kevin ran home and got 4 lantern flashlights. I don't think they'll work, we said. Batteries are dead. But guess what? The lanterns worked. It was like some sort of miracle. We played until we heard the muddy bullies shouting at us. We all ran home. Mom, Dad, I said, catching my breath, you'll never guess what happened. I told him the whole story. My father broke out into a big grin. Boy, he was beaming. I had never seen him so excited. You did it, he said. That's the story of Hanukkah. You lived it. What? And then it hit me. Yes. These bullies were like the evil rulers in the second century. They wanted us to knuckle under. My friends and I were like the Maccabees. We stood up for who we were. Getting our field back was like getting the temple back. And Kevin's lanterns with the dead batteries, that was like the miracle of the light. My mother kissed me. I even let her. Hanukkah is about being who you are, she said. It was the first time ever a people fought against bullies for the freedom to be who they are, to pray their own way. Now you're part of the Hanukkah story. Everything clicked. I still thought Christmas was beautiful, but it wasn't fair to celebrate someone else's holiday, especially when we had our own. There was something magical about that first night of Hanukkah. The menorah sparkled, and Carlos stopped over to our house. He ate latkes, and I showed him how to spin the dreidel. Then I went over to his house. His parents served this really cool Mexican holiday custard. They sang Christmas carols in Spanish. By the time I started walking back, it was dark and snowing. The only light was the warm glow from the holiday displays. Some light shone for Christmas, some for Kwanzaa. And when I saw the window with the Hanukkah menorah burning bright, I knew I was home. You've been listening to me read the Hudson Valley Hanukkah Tale by Mike Levine. This is Ms. G, and I'm bringing you Left Hanging here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. I'll be right back. And hi, this is Ms. G, and I'm back bringing you Left Hanging here at 104.3. And I have another little story for you. It's titled The Exclusive Interview with Santa Claus. Over the past 2 months, I have been writing a Christmas story. It's about Santa Claus and the remarkable sequence of events that befell a young girl living on the edge of the rainforest in Palawan, a tropical island where I live. Of course, for such an apparently far-fetched story, it was important to check out the facts. That was easy to do here in Palawan, but how could I interview somebody quite so famous as Santa Claus, who lived far away in a land where I would freeze to death as soon as I got off the airplane? Well, it turned out to be more easy than I thought. And we met, believe it or not, close to a big firework display in southern England on November 5th, 2005. How I got there and how he got there, I am not allowed to say. In fact, I cannot say, simply because I do not know for sure. I can only speculate. My passport shows I was here. My wife tells me I was here. I tell myself I was here. But I was there. And this is what I can report from the notes I took at the interview. There was much more, but I am sworn to secrecy. And Santa Claus has such amazing powers, I would not go against his wishes. There are the three questions and answers I am allowed to reveal, and these are them. There is much speculation among historians about your origins. Can you tell us to put this straight once and for all? Roars of laughter from Santa. The last people you should ask are historians. They can only look backwards. What a dumb life they lead. They can never find the truth like that. Life is multidimensional. Time is multidimensional. What do historians and scientists know about all that? The truth is like a sun with all its planets rotating around. If you just look backwards, you miss the whole spectrum and you miss the sun itself. What are my origins? My good man, you're just a simple soul like everyone else on the planet. So I know you mean when and where do I come from? I do have a birthday, in fact. I have many birthdays, and they are all true. But for your narrow little world, I was born in 701 A.D. But I said all the historians, his glare told me to be quiet about historians. That seemed like a good idea, given that they got it all totally wrong. Santa was a tolerant and gentle man, despite his massive powers. And young man, I had not been called that for a long time, he said, you will not believe where I was born. It was not the North Pole, though I go there often. It was not Lapland, where I do now live. It was Central Africa. I was dumbfounded. He just laughed at me. I moved on quickly. Question number two. I have to ask Santa, how do you get around the whole world like that? Every Christmas, delivering gifts to so many millions of children in less than 2 days. It's just not. Before I could finish, he had put his hand firmly on my arm to stop me. Of course it's possible. You think it's not possible because your scientists say so? Not because of the truth. Only the truth matters. And it is possible because I do it every year. You say, not possible, because of the way you all look at things, narrow and blinkered. Even my blinkered reindeer know more than your silly scientists. So forget, it's not possible. I do it, and young man, I was really beginning to like this guy, he went on, I just love every moment of it. But, I was about to ask, but he stopped me again with a firm hand. Okay. He said gently, let me just tell you about something. In the 8th century, I was exploring brain waves. Your scientists don't have an inkling yet about the brain, how it works, the brain waves and what they mean and how you can use them. I was able to discover great things, things all the scientists have been too narrow-minded in the past to seek out, understand, and utilize. I was in his spell, listening intently to every word he was about to reveal. Have you heard of quantum chimney descent theory? No, of course not. By 820 AD, I had it all worked out. A year later, I had discovered time corridors. You know, time corridors? No, of course not. But I tell you, young man, that was what did it. That was what enabled me to deliver gifts at Christmas all over the world. I then developed the time corridor interweaving theory. For the next 30 years, I started to put them into practice and then bring them together. That, my dear friend, is how I get around the whole world like that and deliver gifts, by exploiting the quantum chimney descent theory in unison with time corridor interweaving. Do you understand now? He asked. Well, who was I to argue? I might sound like a historian or scientist. So that was it. I had the answer to the greatest Santa Claus question of all. I did not have a clue what he was talking about, but I am sure he anticipated that. We went on to the final question as the firework display reached its climax. Exclusive interview with Santa Claus by Roy Thompson. What happens, question number three, I forgot to tell you that. What happens to all the mince pies and glasses of sherry that millions of children leave out for you? Santa roared with laughter again. Oh, all the things people leave out for me. They are so sweet, those children. But you know, their parent should tell them the truth. They should not deceive. It is their parents who drink the sherry and other alcoholic drinks. It's just their excuse. I don't drink this stuff, never did. But the mince pies. Yes, I do love a good mince pie. The children are so considerate, leaving them for me. And I eat as many as I can in Australia. But over a million? I have to tell you, those mince pies get spread around all sorts of places. The creatures of the oceans and the forests are very much experts on mince pies now. But the year before last, Santa saw my expression change. Ah, we can't say what happened that year, can we? It's in your story. We mustn't spoil your story. A moment later, I awoke in my bed, many thousands of miles away near the Sulu Sea. My wife was next to me, and funnily enough, I was next to her. When I went to my computer room a while later, I found my notebook. And what you have read above is what was written in it. I really did like Santa Claus. Young man, indeed. This Christmas Santa Claus article was written by Roy Thompson. He's the owner and author of the Gifts for Christmas website. You've been listening to me read an exclusive interview with Santa Claus. And this has been Left Hanging, and this is Ms. G, and I have one more thing to read for you, and I'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. And this is Ms. G. I'm back bringing you more with Left Hanging here at 104.3. I hope you enjoyed the stories tonight. I know I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I have one more story / poem to read you tonight. It's called King Island Christmas Light. We come together to celebrate that many hearts can be as one. We come together to contemplate the wondrous things that love has done. We come together to meditate and turn our thoughts to higher things. We come together and now await the miracle that Christmas brings. We light a candle on Christmas night. We light a candle to celebrate the miracle of light. The Arctic winters are long and dark. The sun is gone. There is no light. We light a candle to bring to sight the light that hides in the winter night. The sun will soon return. Morning will follow night. We light a candle to celebrate the miracle of light. The miracle of light is around us everywhere, although it's sometimes hard to see. The light is always there when people act with faith and love. The light comes into view. Today I see the miracle of light in each of you. Pass the light, pass the light, pass the light around. Share the light, share the light, share the light you found. The light shines brighter when you share it. The light was meant to share. The more you share, the more you see it, shining everywhere. The light gets stronger when you give it, so give your light away. Don't hold on tight, don't keep the light, and more will come your way. On Christmas night, we meditate to help our light shine through. So watch the flame and contemplate the light inside of you. And then whistle to the northern lights, and you'll feel your spirits lift. Whistle to the northern lights, they are nature's Christmas gift. Reach out to receive them, let them in, and you will see. We're all a part of one great heart, and as our hearts fill with love, in a world full of light, Christmas comes to King Island tonight. That is wonderful. That was King Island Christmas Light. And that goes out to my friend Stephen. We'll miss you. This has been Ms. G, and I've been bringing you Left Hanging here tonight at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Good night, and happy holidays.